When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
With the 8th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Michael Penix Jr., quarterback, Washington.
I understand why they want to have a succession plan for Kirk Cousins, assuming that the Achilles doesn't end up working out for him. They want to have that guy in place. So I get it from having a succession plan standpoint. Schematically, I just don't really like the fit.
This seems a little high for him, but there's a lot to like about Penix. You know, it's an interesting pick. And look, having two good quarterbacks isn't a bad thing.
Well said, Coach Belichick. Courtesy of Pat McAfee Show. On Sportsmanlike with Evan Canty, Michelle, and Joe Fortenbaugh, broadcasting live from Detroit's new home for sports, ESPN Bet, at Hollywood Casino Greektown. You'll see Fortenbaugh today, 4 p.m. Eastern, ESPN Bet, on ESPN2. And, of course, noon until 3 Eastern time, Monday through Friday, with Chris Carlin. Carlin versus Joe. Yes, storyline of the draft in terms of what we saw last night. Six QBs drafted in the top 12. Very good night for one person on this set. Had a tremendous draft. Who's that person? That's me. As you've seen, my QB rules featured on ESPN.com.
And laminated.
Studio. Draft a QB when you want one, not when you need one. And I said there would be six in the top 16 of the draft. It's actually top 12. The six QBs, as we saw, Caleb Williams obviously go to Chicago, Jaden Daniels to Washington, Drake May, who I saw coming off the stage and patted his back three times, then security removed me, going three overall to the New England Patriots, and Michael Penix Jr., the biggest topic today, Atlanta at eight overall. And then we saw the fifth quarterback pick that CC had all along. Give him credit. He said McCarthy behind Penix. Mm-hmm. You got it right. Minnesota trades up one spot to get J.J. McCarthy, and then Bo Nix goes 12 to the Denver Broncos. But guys, wide receivers, a big topic of conversation as well. A.J. Brown gets a contract extension yesterday with the Eagles. There were rumors about Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk. Cowboys have done nothing. CC, let's start with the wide receivers here. A.J. Brown, Deebo, Brandon Ayuk, what's your read on all this here?
Well, listen, I think the San Francisco 49ers are moving on from one of those guys. You don't take Ricky Parasol with a first-round pick and intend on keeping all three of those guys long-term. We know Brandon Ayuk is up for a contract. We know Deebo Samuel is getting paid at the top of the market. So there has to be some discussion internally about which guy it makes more sense to keep as a part of the core and which guy you can trade off and get something of value that can help this team in their championship window, which is right now. Like, think about what they've done. Over the next 2 to 3 years, you've got a window with Brock Purdy on the cheap of being able to compete for a title. Yeah, I get it. You're probably going to extend him after this year when he becomes first extension eligible, but we know how those extensions work. The big money, the new money in those contracts doesn't kick in for a couple of years once they put their ink on the dotted line. So it just makes sense, while you have this window, to consider moving on from one of those top wide receivers that you have on this team while their market league-wide is as high as it possibly could be.
Yeah, all 11 offensive starters from that Super Bowl team back on the team, and it's very hard to keep all that talent together.
No doubt.
But as you outline that, CC, I was thinking, which one of those guys do you think that they should be trying to shop, and which one do you think they should retain?
Well, I'm going to keep the guy that made All-Pro last year, and that's Brandon Ayuk. I think he brings an element to that offense that you don't have. And I get the Deebo Samuel has a lot of versatility, but he's also a guy that you're paying, what, $23, $24 million a year to? Mm-hmm. And he's a guy that hasn't had a healthy – I think he has only had one healthy season over the last four. So I would be a little bit concerned about Deebo Samuel as he gets a little bit older, as he gets more wear and tear from the overall touches that he gets, that he's going to have that same impact, that he's going to be able to continue to be as productive. Again, Brandon Ayuk and Deebo do different things, but I think for that offense where they're at, they have to have Brandon Ayuk in order for them to continue to trend in the direction that it's going in. I respect what Deebo Samuel is, but the best ability is availability, and I'm a little bit concerned about what that looks like for him moving forward, especially considering what you're paying him.
All right, Joe, you're a Philly guy originally. Walk us through now from the team that you grew up with here, the Eagles, the math, because you're paying Hurts. You're now paying A.J. Brown moving forward. You're paying Devontae Smith, and you just brought in Saquon. Are they just giving up on line play moving forward, or how are we going to operate here with the Eagles?
They've drafted very well on the offensive line. The offensive line's already relatively solid. It might not be the best in the league, but it's good enough to protect a guy in Jalen Hurts to get the ball out of your hands and make plays down the field. Eagles are in win-now mode, and the Eagles have always been very good at, when they acquire good players, taking care of those good players. Get them signed. Don't turn this into a mess. It's incredible to put them in the same division as the Dallas Cowboys, stack them side by side, and look at how Philadelphia has guys who can play, take care of the contracts now, get them done, figure it out long term, whereas Dallas always kicks the can down the road just assuming something's going to happen, like they're not going to have to deal with the problem, and then it gets to a point where it becomes way too expensive and you overpay. So I like what Philadelphia is doing. To the point on San Francisco, they have massive needs on the offensive line. For them to pass on the offensive line, to draft a position where they are already stacked at, tells you everything you need to know about one of those guys being on their way out the door, probably by the end of the day.
Well, interesting, Adam Schefter tweeted this morning about the San Francisco 49ers, something that is fascinating relative to one of their wide receivers, that Brandon Ayuk, when they made the move last night to draft the wide receiver, Ricky Pearsall, out of Florida, who used to go to Arizona State, that he said, Brandon Ayuk said to John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, fire pick. Can't lie. That Ayuk is communicating, obviously, with the GM and head coach in a way of, okay, that's my former teammate at ASU. That guy's really good. Got to give you props on that. Kind of makes you think he's the one who's going to stay. Because if somebody's drafting your replacement, are you really reaching out and saying, fire pick, can't lie?
Well, here's the thing. You know, either way, you're going to get your money. So if you're Brandon, yeah. you're going to be mad.
Right.
Like, I'm going to be good. Like, here's the thing. If they keep me, they're going to pay me. If they trade me, I'm going to get paid as soon as the deal goes through. So if you're Brandon, you know you're one step closer to getting your bag.
All right, the number one fire pick can't lie for you guys is who? On the draft last night, the fire pick can't lie. Which the number – because, I mean, I'm going to give you Penix. You know that. I love Penix to Atlanta.
I know you are.
The number one pick that – this is just –
this fire positive. Pick, can't lie. We're going to use the Brandon Ayuk terminology. Best pick of the first round. Fire pick, can't lie. Smalls?
There's a few.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go – I'm actually going to go with Drake May to the Patriots at three, which is –
fire pick, can't lie?
Which is surprising. I'm just so impressed with him. He's a guy who has a big arm. He's a big quarterback. He, in conversations with us, feels every bit the franchise quarterback. And I know that...
And I felt his back, so I do know he's a franchise quarterback.
Yes,
feeling his back last night.
Wow.
Right before you were removed from the area. That's
correct.
Right. You did
all true. All true.
And just to give a little background here, too, Evan greeted him as if this was a member of his family.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Like he was waiting for me.
Yes, correct.
That guy's like, I don't want to go to New England.
It was amazing to witness in person. But just because New England is not in a position from a personnel standpoint that maybe the Bears are or the Vikings are, does not mean that they should have traded out of that pick and passed on a guy like Drake May who could be the franchise quarterback moving forward. I think that this was a great pick. I think he's going to be a great fit there. And that's my fire pick. I can't lie. Drake May to the Patriots.
I love that one. My fire pick last night, can't lie. The Detroit Lions being able to draft Terry and Arnold. What up, though? Friend of the show.
Yeah.
He came through stunning with the salmon suit with the stunner shades on. I love that. But I love the direction that Detroit is going. The sore spot for that team was their secondary. They were 27th in passing yards allowed and passing touchdowns allowed. Being able to add him to a secondary that you already overhauled this offseason by bringing in Amik Robertson from the Raiders, by bringing in Carlton Davis from the Tampa Bay Bucks, I just think it makes a lot of sense. We saw that this team made a run to the NFC title game, but what changed that game? Poor secondary play, coupled with some poor decisions by Dan Campbell. But the big play over the top to Brandon Ayuk, which got the 49ers back in the game. They are trying to fix their secondary, and I like the steps that they've taken. Aaron Glenn will know exactly what to do with a guy like Terry and Arnold on that defense.
Joe?
Byron Murphy to Seattle was a very good pick. I think lost in the shuffle of Buffalo's trade with Kansas City last night, Buffalo moves back to 33, which means they control the start of today's draft. They pick up some assets. They have opportunities at wide receiver there, but they also can listen to every possible team that wants to come up. For a team that needs resources to replenish its roster, I thought that was a savvy move that's going to be overlooked. Best pick, though?
Fire pick. You got to say fire pick.
Fire pick. Fire pick, and I think no one else probably said this already because it was so obvious from the beginning that we all just kind of were like, yeah, it's Marvin Harrison to Arizona. It's the best receiver in the class. It's a guy who's pro-ready. Mm-hmm. He's going to a team that needs a wide receiver. They have a quarterback that they clearly believe in Kyler Murray, so they've got to put some weapons around him to kind of ramp up that offense. Marvin Harrison was a fantastic pick last night, but I don't think a lot of people are going to talk about it today just because it was mocked for weeks. We all kind of thought it was going to happen. It happened, and we're moving on to the stuff that's a little bit sexier, like what happened with the Falcons. But this is an incredible pick because you got a guy who's ready to come in and contribute on day one in a big way.
Yeah, the ice that Marvin Harrison Jr. had on yesterday, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, with good. His dad and him and his Pop Warner picture with his dad in the Colts jersey, and you had Simba and Mufasa. I love that.
I got a question for you about this. They showed him in the green room during an interview about 15 minutes before the draft started, and his whole family was there except his dad. I have no idea why Marvin Harrison wasn't there. Do you think part of that is because he's already had the huge career?
It's his son's moment.
Son's moment.
Yeah, it's his son's moment.
Would you do something like that if you're in that situation?
Hell no, I'm going to be there.
Yeah, you got to get
I did this. He's going to walk out.
I did this. This is a celebrate me. Glorify me.
As your wife's sitting there, just like, I know what you did.
I'll give you a non-Michael Penix fire pick, can't lie, to use the Brandon Ayuk terminology. Joe Alt.
Oh, yeah, great pick.
And I know offensive line discussion is not a sexy discussion. I'm usually a believer if you can't pick the guy in fantasy, don't talk about him. But in this specific case, Jim Harbaugh is no joke. I have such blind faith in this guy that he is going to be awesome with the Chargers. And he told me again last night why I have that blind faith. Well, it's not blind faith. He's been successful for so long.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's
apparent faith.
Yeah. Actually, 2020
the
vision.
Obvious faith.
It's actually the greatest vision of all time I have with this. Jim Harbaugh wants to beat the living daylights out of the opponent.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody thinks because he's a quarterback guy that they're going to pass. And everybody, no, they're going to run the football and complement the run with the quarterback. So Justin Herbert's not going to be asked to do as much as he's been doing in the last few years. And you get a guy that is a 6'9" left tackle that is going to eat people for lunch. Also, I loved when he got drafted. His reaction was just basically stone-faced. Like, all right, when do we start? Like, okay.
Well, he got up and gave his family a hug.
Yeah.
I know, but I like that. I like to just, all right, what's next? What are we doing later? Like, I just love that. So that's a, to me, a fire pick, can't lie. Joe, I want to go back to something quickly before, because we took a breather from screaming at each other about Penix, which we will do coming up again, and Bo Nix and where he fits in this.
Hansi and I didn't even talk to each other in the restroom. We saw each other. We didn't even address each other.
Wow, on the show.
Yeah, well, it's carrying over into the restroom now. That's where it is.
Okay, got it. Yeah, I think you're going to lose that
Well, there are some rules in decorum in the restroom, right? It's eyes straight forward. Yeah. You can't acknowledge.
Like, four of the urinals are out of service.
Yeah.
Close to each other, so it's like we're not. Yeah,
let me give you the urinal rules.
There, all right, there I have them. Rules there.
It's an intimidating situation.
Are they laminated?
No, but I can give you the urinal.
Probably should be laminated considering what we're talking about.
Correct.
Let's pretend there's five urinals. Five urinals. You go to the number five, the furthest one first. Yeah. Second person comes in, you go to one. Third person goes to three.
Yes.
It's 5-1-3.
Yeah.
That's how you do a five-person urinal. 5-1-3.
But what throws it off is if the one at the either end is the small one or the short one.
Yes.
That's what throws it off.
Hmm.
Because then it's awkward. Then you got a choice you got to make.
What do you mean a small one?
That kid's one.
Kids.
Yeah, oh, kid, yeah. See, I don't know. Never seen these.
It's a very fair question. It's a very fair question.
I shockingly have never been in a men's restroom, so I don't know what you're doing.
You know what,
idiot?
The greatest thing
that?
About your life is that you've never been in a men's restroom.
I have no desire.
And it's not
that
somewhere you want to go.
No.
That is actually true.
It's disgusting.
Not for me.
I'm not saying here at ESPN Bet. I'm just saying five, and then one, and then three. But anyway, I want you to think about this, an answer coming up, Fortenbach, because you just said the Bills control the draft starting today at 33 overall. What's the biggest position of need for the Bills? Wide receiver.
Am I answering that right now?
No, I'm doing the setup. This is the setup.
You're staring at me, though. Yeah. It's like you're staring through my soul. I'm like, right, am I supposed to answer this?
He does that.
Yeah.
There you go.
So what is the position? What is the position?
Awkward. It's
that the Bills need coming up. We're on Sports
Tonight. I'm uncomfortable.
Presented by Progressive Insurance.
HR.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do. You do. We all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We are here at ESPN Bet in Detroit. Joe Fortenbaugh hanging with us. Of course, noon until 3 Eastern time, Carlin versus Joe. 4 p.m. Eastern today, ESPN Bet. Talking about round one of the draft, rounds two and three tonight. Coverage, of course, all throughout ESPN, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We left off talking about the Buffalo Bills and how they have the 33rd pick tonight. And if you take that, or the first pick, 33rd overall, you take that and you combine it with our wide receiver conversation that we just had about Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk and all these different guys. Fortenbaugh, you specifically pointed out the Bills. Could they trade that tonight for a wide receiver, an active wide receiver in your mind?
Oh, an active wide receiver.
Yeah. Well, is that the Deebo destination, the Ayuk destination?
You've got to figure they're working the phones. The problem for Buffalo is the salary cap space. They found themselves in several issues this offseason where they had to get under the number, much like the Chargers. And once
right.
they got under the number, great. But what are you going to do? Are you going to find a way to bring in a wide receiver who's immediately going to – you're going to have to create cap space somewhere else. So I would like to believe that they could be involved in Ayuk. Or Deebo Samuel, the second they traded Stephon Diggs, Carlin and I were talking about the idea of going and getting Brandon Ayuk. I don't know if they can make the financials work. I do know that they're in a position at 33 where they could hit wide receiver if they wanted. They could hit cornerback if they wanted. They need help in the secondary. They need help on the offensive line. It's a team that lost a lot this offseason. They lost a lot. So having the ability to control day two, maybe they slide back, pick up more assets. Maybe they make the pick. Maybe they trade the pick to bring in a wide receiver. Buffalo has flexibility today, which is a pretty good situation to be in considering how many needs they have.
All right, guys. The biggest or most debated pick last night by far was Michael Penix Jr., Washington quarterback, going to Atlanta at number 8. We also have Bo Nix going to Denver at 12. So let me just give context. Going into this, with all of CC's draft prep, CC thought Penix absolutely the fourth best quarterback above J.J. McCarthy, and you said, I would not draft Bo Nix in the first round. Now, what's interesting about this is you know Sean Payton very well. You were around him in Dallas, right? Which is a worse pick between those two, Penix or Nix?
Well, I mean, I don't think Nix is going to be set up to have success because he's going to be forced to play early and there's not a lot of talent around him, right? Like, there are holes all over that Denver Broncos roster, and I'm sorry, I can't expect better quarterback play when you jettison one of your better weapons in Jerry Jeudy this past offseason. You traded him to the Cleveland Browns for a fifth-round pick, so I am skeptical, to say the least, about the potential for success for Bo Nix in Denver, especially considering the learning curve that he's going to have in the National Football League. He's coming out of an RPO offense, right? When he was at Auburn, it was RPO. When he was at Oregon, it was RPO. So there is going to be a huge learning curve for him in terms of learning how to play the quarterback position and have success in the NFL. So, yeah, I am a little bit concerned about Bo Nix. I don't see NFL arm when I look at Bo Nix. When we start talking about the throws outside of the numbers, down the field, those are the ones that he's going to have to consistently make to justify being the number 12 overall pick. So we'll see. It's clearly a move of desperation by the Denver Broncos. They had to have a quarterback, and the best way for them to add one was going to be through the draft because, quite frankly, their salary cap wouldn't afford them any other chance to do so. So I get the move. I just don't necessarily love the pick. I don't love the player.
You needed to get a quarterback. You're right, it does feel like desperation, but it doesn't feel like the right guy.
Yeah.
We talk so much about the quarterback purgatory that Chicago has been in for a long time. We feel great about what Chicago did last night. Obviously, when you have the number one overall pick and you have a guy like Caleb Williams, you're going to feel good about it this morning. The Broncos have had 12 different quarterbacks since Peyton Manning retired in 2015.
Mm.
They just moved on from Russell Wilson. Not only do they need a quarterback now, historically, they really need one. You paid Sean Payton a lot of money to come in and be that guy. But it feels like they're settling for Bo Nix. There's a reason that he was the sixth quarterback taken in the first round. I just don't really look at him and think, despite Sean Payton being such a great offensive mind and a guy who can mold a quarterback, as somebody that's going to come in and make a real impact right away.
The specificity of the question is the most important thing here, because there's two conversations. Who's the better player, Penix or Nix? Who's the better pick, Penix or Nix? The better player is Michael Penix. The better pick is Bo Nix. The Falcons, it was an egregious misuse of resource management last night with what they did drafting Penix. What the Broncos did was that they needed a quarterback, and they went and they got themselves a quarterback. Now, whether or not that works out comes down to Nix, talent evaluation, coaching, supporting cast, all that. But they had a need and they addressed it. You can have good players who are bad picks. Saquon Barkley's a very good player who was a bad draft pick.
No doubt.
Jordan Love has shown he's a good player. That was a bad draft pick on behalf of the Green Bay Packers. What we saw last night from the Atlanta Falcons, that was a bad pick by the Atlanta Falcons last night. They had an opportunity to get better right now. This idea that we're building for the future, what is it? It's job preservation. There's no job preservation in professional sports. There's none. When it comes to Bill Belichick, he just got fired, okay?
Yes.
There's no such thing as job preservation. So this idea that Penix is going to come in and extend the job duration of all these coaches, I'm not necessarily willing to buy into that.
The example is the counter to your point, though. Bill Belichick got fired because he didn't have a quarterback. That's why he got fired. You're talking about them being on the outside looking at the playoffs three of the last 4 years. That's why he got fired. Mac Jones wasn't it. Guess what? Now with Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix, you guarantee yourself between the two of them above average quarterback play. Like you're going to be able
For
to.
How long?
And that's the thing.
A long time,
the
right?
The runway is at least 5 years, probably double that under the perfect scenario, under the perfect conditions. So I think what the Atlanta Falcons did was smart, considering that this is a team with Kirk Cousins as their quarterback that's going to be in the playoffs. So they're going to be picking in the 20s. They're never going to have the opportunity to be this high in the draft for the foreseeable future, for the shelf life of the head coach and the general manager. They're not going to be in the top 10. So taking a quarterback when you have a top 10 pick in a quarterback-rich draft makes all the sense in the world. Conversely, with the Denver Broncos, I just look at where this roster is. I don't think it's in a position to properly support a rookie quarterback. And he's going to be thrust into action early, which scares the hell out of me. Because Bo Nix, if your evaluation on him was right, if he's what Mel Kiper and others think he can be, he should be better than Zach Wilson. He should be better than Jared Stidham. But what does that mean in the way of team success? That's the part that scares me about that situation, because he's going to be forced to play so early on.
All right. We have a lot more to get to, obviously, with the NFL draft. We're here at ESPN Bet in Detroit, Hollywood Casino, Greektown. A reminder, NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tomorrow. Lakers hosting the Nuggets. Will they get swept tomorrow night? We are going to find out. That is presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations and on SiriusXM channel 80. So, many of these quarterbacks will not work out. Based on the historical numbers, arguably half of the first-round picks, all picked last night in the top 12 at the quarterback position, will not work out. Which QB landed in the worst spot? We'll get to that next. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We are Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle alongside Joe Fortenbaugh, broadcasting live from Detroit's new home for sports, ESPN Bet at Hollywood Casino Greektown. You learn a lot of things about people when you're traveling with them and you're on a great set like this here at ESPN yes. Bet. We learned today, ladies and gentlemen, Chris Canty loves lint rollers.
Yes. Yes.
Loves the lint roller.
My goal in life now, after the experience I've had with Suzanne the last couple of days, is to become rich enough where I can afford a full-time lint roller.
And Suzanne is our wonderful hair and makeup person.
Follows me around with a lint roller and just, I mean, I didn't know I needed it, Joe. I didn't know that I needed it.
All right. A little bit of confusion here. Are you excited about the lint roller or the human being rolling the lint off you?
Yes, would be the answer. yes would be the answer. Don't knock it until you've tried it. If you had somebody that just comes up to you and rolls the lint off you, like just to make sure that you're pristine, everything is laying on you properly. And I'm wearing this nice cashmere sweater.
It looks very nice.
And I just want to make sure that, you know, best of it is brought out. And having the lint roller there is actually essential. It is essential. So that is my goal now in life, to become rich enough to afford a full-time lint roller.
I think that you can attain that goal. I think that you can get it done.
No, we've got a long ways to go, Spalls.
But I appreciate that you want to be squeaky clean with no lint on your shirt. Yes. We also, guys, have not acknowledged today, Evan is not wearing a hoodie or a bomber jacket.
The internet has.
He's wearing a sweater and a blazer.
Yeah. He caved to the pressure. Chris Carlin, you know, shamed him for wearing the hoodie and the jacket.
Carlin showing up with a jacket yesterday was a big upset.
But it's not just any jacket, though. He showed up in a camo mole hair blazer with a check shirt.
Yeah. Not,
and he had it unbuttoned, three buttons. He went full Richard Jefferson with the camo
received?
Blazer.
How was that received on set?
Oh, we talked about it. I asked him to open more buttons. More Everybody buttons. Else said no.
No, we didn't need a nipple popping out. We don't want that kind of thing on the air.
It's a family show.
My wife texted me this morning. She said, "Why are you so dressed up?" I said, "I don't know. I actually don't know. I don't know why. Why did I do
Chris
this?
Chris Carlin shamed you.
No, I don't think so. It's that. It's a confluence of things. It's probably a little bit of Carlin, but I think after Evan was removed from the draft last night for bum-rushing Drake May, the new Patriots quarterback, and actually physically touching him on the back, not once, not twice, but thrice, I think he's showing up today to say, I'm a professional. I may have gotten kicked out of the draft last night, but look at me. I'm a professional.
That's
great
true.
Theory.
I think that is a good theory. So, Fortenbaugh, what would you rather have on your resume? Not being allowed into the draft like CeCe or being kicked out of the draft like me? You have to have one on your resume.
I feel like getting kicked out of the draft is probably the better story. Why you didn't get let in, there's something there that's probably like, oh, that's a little bit unfortunate. Getting kicked out of a draft, that's a great story over cocktail. So I'd probably rather have that as long as there's not a serious long-term effect.
I mean, if you think about our show, the Unsportsmanlike crew last night, and you think about our draft experiences, we have Michelle Smallman, who was invited by major ESPN people to areas that none of us were invited to. Chris Canty wasn't allowed in, and I was removed from it.
Yeah.
I think we have the winner of the draft last night over there, 3-1-3 versus everybody with Michelle Smallman.
I don't know. Even though I got more access than the two of you, you had the better night. Quarterback rules, Atlanta Falcons, the Patriots drafting the future quarterback. You were right about the quarterbacks getting selected when they did, 6 in the top 12. What else happened?
The chalk.
There was one other thing that happened last night that I can't remember.
Bill Belichick
thriving on the Pat McAfee show.
There's one other thing.
What?
How about getting a car when we were leaving?
Oh, there you go.
Tell the story.
So, what was there, 275,000 people that were downtown Detroit last night?
Is that the number?
I think Schefter put that out today.
Oh, 275. My God.
It was an incredible showing by Detroit last night. However, you can imagine with that many people in one condensed area, not really friendly to get an Uber or a Lyft or some sort of car service. So I say, I talked to some very friendly police officers, and I say, give me some inside info. Where's the best spot to get an Uber? They direct me to the right spot. So we get over there. I try to get the car. It will not connect. And it says if it does connect, we're looking at like a 20-minute wait, and it's freezing outside, probably like 40 degrees. Evan goes, let me check. Let me see what I can do. He not only gets us a car within 1 minute, it's a very nice luxury SUV that Evan got us right away.
How'd that? Was it?
He was just charmed last night.
Service. It was just your night.
Yeah,
and it was your night.
Everything coming up, Cohen.
So you have a better Uber rating than Smalls. Are we finding this out on there?
Oh well,
I have a better
Smalls has got like this.
Wait, you just reminded me of
Uber rating.
Actually,
let me check mine.
You just reminded me of something
because it's not.
I see Nuno. Nuno knows where I'm going with this. Smalls did order an Uber for us to get to the draft with Nuno and Smalls and I, and I hadn't eaten dinner yet. So I go down to the lobby of the hotel. I'm literally eating the leftovers of their fries. I order a sandwich to go, and I'm eating the sandwich in the Uber ordered by Smalls.
Yeah.
So if the guy was annoyed that there was food in the Uber, she gets the bad rating.
It takes the hit.
Yeah. And by the way, $132 later for the great Uber last night. Thank you, Justin Craig, our boss.
Yes. We had to get home to go.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Morning shows have that kind of juice. You can run up the bills like that.
If you say it while on the air, you have a better shot, right?
There you go.
Supply and demand, like the quarterbacks.
So I had us land in a good situation last night because I got the Uber. Six quarterbacks drafted in the first round. Percentages say that roughly half of them will actually not pan out, which is a crazy thing to say. But as we look at the six quarterbacks, Caleb Williams in Chicago, Jaden Daniels in Washington, Drake May in New England, Michael Penix Jr. in Atlanta, J.J. McCarthy in Minnesota, and Bo Nix in Denver. Which one landed in the worst situation last night, guys?
So my fire pick, can't lie, as a nod to Brandon Ayuk, was Drake May to the Patriots. I thought that was a very smart move for them to make. If you need a franchise quarterback and you have one there, you got to take him. I also think if we're looking at the top three guys, I think he's in the worst situation.
Wow.
And it is so – what would the – you're a gambling guy. What would the probability be for all three of those quarterbacks to work out?
Oh, it's extremely low.
It's extremely low.
If you get one to work out, that probably would be right where you're
– Correct. And it seems like Caleb Williams is in the best situation, at least for right now. So as I'm going down the line looking at these three quarterbacks, even though I think the Patriots made the right decision in drafting him, they had one of the least productive offenses in – the league last year. We don't know what Gerard Mayo is going to be like as a head coach. I have no idea what sort of culture or system he will implement. And even though I very much listen to the guy to my right and Chris Canty when it comes to the NFL as a whole, and especially with this talent evaluation, he loves Drake May and thinks that he could make an impact right away. I just don't know if he's in the right situation to do it.
Yeah, but I don't think there's any rush to play him either. And that's probably why I feel more comfortable with Drake May and his development. That's a franchise that is coming out of the Bill Belichick years. We've had a quarter century with the guy at the helm as the head coach and the chief talent evaluator. They know that it's going to take some time to get off the mat from where they are right now. That's why they got Jacoby Brissett. He's going to come in, take all the slings and arrows to go through the growing pains of a new head coach, an offense that is devoid of weapons to work with. So I think that part gives me confidence that the Patriots won't rush Drake May. They're going to let this thing sit in the incubator for a while until the roster and the player is at a point where he can go out there and be productive. Now, the quarterback that I think is in the worst spot is Bo Nix. Right. I mean, I talked to an AFC front office executive and he said, there's a reason why the guy stayed in college to play 61 games. He wasn't good enough to come out earlier. Right. And even when he did come out, you're talking about him being the sixth quarterback off the board. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that has to be taken into context. He played in an RPO offense at Auburn, RPO offense at Oregon. So there is going to be a learning curve there. And then when you look at the Denver Broncos roster, not just the offensive side of the ball, but the defensive side of the ball, they need some work. And so when we go back and look at the history of quarterback drafts, I mean, the only one that this compares to is 1983, right? In that quarterback class, you had three Hall of Famers. You had four quarterbacks play in Super Bowls. You had two of the other guys be bust. So, I mean, a couple of quarterbacks in this class are going to go bust, even if this class is really, really good.
Yep.
And so I'm thinking that Bo Nix, I'm circling as the guy that would probably happen to. Now, I want Bo Nix to have a long NFL career, be a productive player, but I'm just saying I think he has the higher likelihood to go bust more so than the other five quarterbacks that went in the first round.
Hard to disagree with anything that's been said. McCarthy's in a great spot with the coaching and the weapons in Minnesota. Caleb Williams is in a fantastic situation in Chicago. Jaden Daniels, we haven't mentioned him at all today. It looks like it's going to be a good spot. You always wonder with Washington, did they get it right with ownership, coaching, all that? There's some questions, but he's a very good player. So it comes down to May, who I think, to your point, we've seen some of these quarterbacks that have come out of North Carolina. You don't want to stereotype the guy because of that. He could break the trend, but there's some footwork issues there that need to be cleaned up, and there's not a whole lot supporting him in New England right now. And on top of it, Knicks, I mean, there's nothing I can add to that. That situation just feels messy. There's starting to be the, you know, what was Belichick without Brady? Well, what's Sean Payton without Drew Brees? Because it hasn't been very pretty so far.
I think that's very fair. I want to go back to McCarthy for a second, and I think he's in a good situation. I would lean towards Bo Nix as well. I think probably not enough has been made of Jaden Daniels, of the are we sure that everything's just going to be great? But let's go back to J.J. McCarthy. Is he going to get the benefit of not having to play right away?
No.
Do you think Sam Darnold is going to be the starter?
No.
So he just beats out Sam Darnold right off the bat?
He better. I mean, listen, you've got Justin Jefferson who's looking to get a brand new contract, and this is a guy that's dependent on the dude under center in order to do his job. Like, you think Justin Jefferson is going to be excited about signing up knowing that his quarterback week one is going to be Sam Darnold? Hell no. Not after he just went through the hodgepodge of Jaren Hall and Josh Dobbs and Nick Mullins and all of those guys that they marched out there last year after Kirk Cousins got hurt. So, yeah, they've got to sell not only the fan base, but the guys in that locker room that the dude under center can help them do some winning in a division that now all of a sudden is flush with quarterbacks when you look at Jared Goff, when you look at Jordan Love, when you look at Caleb Williams. Like, you can't sell them that Sam Darnold is going to be the guy. So it has to be J.J. McCarthy. And I don't think that's just external pressure. I think there's going to be internal pressure in the building to put J.J. McCarthy out there week one.
All right. Keep in mind, a lot of people don't realize this. Minnesota is ready to win now. Mm-hmm. Brian Flores took a bad defense and bumped them up big time last year. They traded up for Dallas Turner. No one's talking about that today. They're ready to win football games this year.
Joe Fortenbaugh once again and said he listened to our 6 a.m. Eastern hour. Did not, because we did talk about Dallas Turner today. Coming up, will a team who didn't get a quarterback regret it more than those who actually picked one? We'll find out next. It's Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Joe Fortenbaugh joining us here because someone else is not here. Where did Canty go?
Uh-oh.
Craps table?
He owes us money now.
ESPN Bet?
Yeah. Well, sir!
Okay, if he's betting at ESPN Bet here in Detroit, he does not owe us money for the bad take jar, which you don't know what that is because you've never listened to the show.
Correct.
So if we have bad takes, we put money in the jar. Yeah. Or if we're late to a segment, you have to put, coming back from the bathroom, whatever, you have to put money in the jar.
How often does it happen that someone's late getting back from the bathroom for a segment?
It's happened to me once. Now, what about you guys?
More often than you. Not me.
I would not think you. You've been doing radio forever. I would not think that would ever happen to you.
Once in 7 months?
What happened?
I was like Mad Dog.
Mad Dog caught you in the hallway.
Yeah, I was talking to Mad Dog.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Good excuse.
Oh, no, it may have been when I was talking to you, actually, one day.
No. I want to be very clear about that. That was you talking to me.
Oh, boy.
I just said I was talking to you.
I came in with a mission and a plan. This guy intercepted me, and immediately it was
I brought you to our show.
Yeah.
I was not talking to him. He was talking to me.
Pay up. Pay up, big guy. Pay up.
How'd the blackjack go?
Yeah, did you win? Did
Please
you bet?
Tell me you were... Yeah.
He's getting caught in his headset now.
I'm making some bets on ESPN Bet. I have to be able to afford the fine that I have to pay for being back in the set.
Yeah, we said if you were making a bet at ESPN Bet that we would waive the fine, actually.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. So the fine is waived now. It's forgiven.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not the one to look at. I don't know the rules.
Okay.
I don't know the rules.
Well, if you listen to the show, you would, but you don't.
I get around to it at some point.
Yeah.
I got you guys. Every show you've done, I have it queued up. They're all downloaded. I'm ready to start from the beginning.
Okay.
Right. Big can't podcast wait. Listener.
So you're going to treat our show like The Sopranos?
Sopranos, okay. Breaking Bad. I'm going to treat you like 24. I heard this Jack Bauer character gets himself into some hijinks.
All right. There were teams last night that we thought could draft a QB that didn't. We thought the Giants at 6 with J.J. McCarthy there could potentially draft a quarterback. We also thought the Raiders could draft a quarterback, as they did not even have the opportunity to draft one unless they were going to trade up. Which team that didn't draft a QB last night you think is going to regret it more?
Oh, well, I mean, it's the Giants. The Giants are done. That's the thing. It's now all the chips are in on Daniel Jones. He's our guy. We told you this a few years ago. We got neighbors to come in, and we're going to – Daniel, this is going to be a disaster. That's the thing. It's going to be a disaster for the Giants, and then they're going to clean house at the end of the year. That's the official prediction. So bad take, Jar, let me know. I'll throw in whatever I need to throw in down the line on that, but I think this is the final year of Brian Daboll in New York with the Giants.
Whoa. What are the Las Vegas Raiders doing?
Yeah.
What are the Las Vegas Raiders
Same thing they've been doing for two decades.
IQ.
But I don't know.
Hugh Myers over there, Mr. Raider.
If it wasn't obvious already, it should be now. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs ain't going nowhere. And now with Jim Harbaugh with the L.A. Chargers, it's only going to get tougher. Right now, we've got you penciled in as the third best team in the division. And even that might be a stretch considering what the Denver Broncos are trying to do, at least making an effort to upgrade at the quarterback position. I'm sorry, Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell, that tandem does not invoke a lot of confidence in terms of the Las Vegas Raiders being able to compete with the upper echelon of the AFC and particularly the AFC West.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I've got to question what they're doing. I don't want to knock the player Brock Bowers because I think he's a fine player, but you're using a premium pick on a position that, quite frankly, is not as important to winning as others in the National Football League.
Good player, bad pick.
Tight end is a luxury pick in this league nowadays.
No, it's
like,
not.
Like the meat and potatoes, when it starts to come down to it, it's the quarterback, it's the left tackle, it's the pass rusher, it's the wide receiver, it's the shutdown corner. If it's anything outside of those five picks, then you don't need to be drafting that guy with premium draft capital. I'm sorry, that's just where I'm at. Look at the composition of the first round alone. I mean, you're talking about a lot of offensive linemen, a lot of offensive tackles. You're talking about 6 quarterbacks in the first 12 picks. You're talking about a ton of wide receivers. Like, think about it. Those 3 positions made up the 23 offensive players taken in the first round. I mean, 22 of the 23. And then the Raiders are the outlier with the tight end. I'm sorry. It just makes no sense.
How do you think Davante Adams feels today? You think he wants to still be a part of this thing?
No.
I love it.
You love the Brock Bowers pick?
I love it. I'm going to tell you why. You have to look around and figure out which team is best suited for a potential quarterback to want to join. Okay? Dak Prescott is going to be a free agent next year. When Dak Prescott looks at Davante Adams, Jacoby Myers, Brock Bowers, and Michael Mayer, the tight end out of Notre Dame that they drafted last year, that is really attractive. I love the idea. And you say tight ends are not key to winning. Name me the best tight ends in the NFL.
I didn't say that.
We're not as key as other positions.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you go through the best tight ends in the NFL, they're always in the conference championship game or better. It is outside of the quarterback, the one position you could look at and list the tight ends and say they actually contribute to winning. George Kittle, Travis Kelce, Hockenson last year. Right? I mean, these are Gronk forever.
I didn't say tight ends weren't important.
I know.
I just said they weren't. Those other teams have everything else checked. They have all those other boxes checked.
Right.
All of those premium positions that I just outlined.
Yes.
The San Francisco 49ers, they have the best offensive tackle in football. They've got one of the best receiver tandems in football. Like, they got 2 all pros at this spot. They got the best running back in football in Christian McCaffrey. But, I mean, when you look at the pass rusher, Nicky Bosa, like, that's a premium position.
Max Crosby, Darius Ward,
another guy that's a perennial pro bowler. So all of the positions that I talked about, quarterback, offensive line, pass rusher, corner, wide receiver, they got all of those. They just so happen to have the tight end as well.
Well, there's also one other thing, and I got to give Nuno, our producer, credit on this. I did not think about this. There was someone recently who got a haircut, and that haircut was heard all around the world. And when Tom Brady was with Vic Blends and he was talking about the idea of coming back and he's a potential owner of the Raiders, what position did he like throwing to more than any other position? Tight end. Just saying.
Brady is a winner. He's not going to sign up with a loser.
He's literally going to own the team.
Yeah, that's different. You can own a loser. You don't want to be a loser.
But I guess the plan for...
Does that make sense?
Hold on. Put that not on a T-shirt.
I just threw all. Those words together, and I was like, well, maybe this will fly past everyone.
But think about how bizarre what you're talking about is, though, Evan. Our plan is relying on somebody from outside of the organization.
I get it.
To step
right.
And save us.
I get yeah. it.
Like that's the plan. Yeah.
Some guy.
Why is Q is over there? Q Myers, who's going to be on with me with Greeny, we're co-hosting together at 10 a.m. Eastern. I'm defending the Raiders. Stop shaking your head. Terrible.
He says Evan has terrible takes.
All right, you know what? Bad pick. The Raiders stink.
You can't defend it, Q. Indefensible. You just can't. A tight end is a luxury pick.
Here's the thing with the Raiders. You can't protect and you can't run. They what are you going to do offensively? That O-line is a mess. If you can't run the ball, which they couldn't with Josh Jacobs last year, you can't set up the play action. If you can't set up the play action, you can't take advantage necessarily of the tight ends. If you can't do any of that, how are you going to get the ball to Devontae Adams with quarterbacks that aren't starters in the NFL? Like, that is an organization where there was so much excitement with Antonio Pierce getting the job and everyone moving into this year. And then last night it looked like, even though Bo Nix might not make it, Denver got a quarterback and they're ready to move forward. The Raiders take that pick and it's just like, okay, after Michael Mayer last year. But that was a different regime because everyone got fired because that's what the Raiders do every 2.5 years.
But here's the part that's even more confusing. You saw the New York Jets trade out of 10. You saw them trade out of 10. They traded out of 10. They traded down and it cost the Minnesota Vikings a fourth and a fifth round pick. You could have slid into that spot and took J.K. McCarthy, the fifth quarterback, off the board.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. I do not understand it.
It's the same question you have with a lot of these teams. What's the plan, right? Like, what's the plan? You have an idea of what the plan is in Minnesota. Like, some of these teams, you see the plan. Some of the teams, you have no idea.
Well, as many great business people have said over the course of time, you don't want to be a loser. You want to own a loser. What was the line?
Greg,
that's the first time I've ever.
You don't want to be a loser.
I'm going back to the hotel room. I'm going to listen to that segment again. I'm going to reassess what happened there. Try to be sharper tomorrow.
Catch Ford and Mott today. 4 p.m. Eastern, ESPN Bet on ESPN2. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.